Welcome to the Architect My Life podcast. I'm Aya Schlachter, serial entrepreneur and CEO of the MGS Global Group, where we serve architecture and design firms with project delivery, such as drafting, 3D visualization, and graphics production support. I am also the founder of Architect My Life. My goal is to help creative entrepreneurs such as architects and other design-related professionals scale their business to 6 or 7 figures. I also show them how it's possible to do this while living a rich life outside their work, reclaiming time and energy for themselves and their families. Creatives were taught how to master their craft, but not taught how to run and grow a business. Each podcast episode features a different entrepreneur from the creative industry who shares their journey towards success. If you have a growth story that others in our community could benefit from hearing, stick around to the end of the show to see how you could be a guest in one of our future episodes. Now, let's dive into this episode. I am so excited to introduce today's guest. Today's guest is Karen Aspreya. Karen is a New York City-based interior designer with distinct focus on the luxury residential market, specializing in design for luxury residential developments, private homes, and commercial spaces. Karen has designed interiors alongside famed architects such as SOM and ODA to create the stunning residences of some of New York City's premier developers. Over the last 14 years, she has gained and coordinated over 5 million square feet of residential development, commercial capital improvement, and private homes. Karen is a native New Yorker and received her academic training at Pratt Institute, an affiliated campus DIS in Copenhagen, Denmark. Karen draws from founding principles learned from studying in Scandinavia and holds a degree in fine arts with a focus on interior design and art history. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you so much, Aya. How are you? It's so good to see you.
Great to see you. So I'm so excited to, for you to share your story to our guests. I know you're a native New Yorker. A lot of New Yorkers are actually not from New York. So I would like to hear, I always like to start about your childhood. Tell us about your childhood in New York City and, how you became who you are, your biggest mentor and inspiration as a child.
So I did. I grew up here in Brooklyn, New York. We had a big Italian family in southern Brooklyn. We also have family that lives in Calabria in southern Italy. So we would go from Brooklyn to Calabria over the summers. We were like traveling like a big caravan of a big family. And that was really fun. You know, it was really nice to have the connection and the relationship with my cousins and aunts and uncles that are overseas. So that was really nice.
So you would go back to Italy back and forth?
Over the summers when we were kids and, you know, we didn't have the restraints of work and we had summers off because of school, we did.
That's great. So you speak Italian, I assume?
I actually don't. All of our family, you know, they like to speak Italian amongst themselves and hide whatever they didn't want the kids to know. So they they didn't teach us to speak formal Italian. You know, my family speaks an older dialect.
What is it called?
Calabrians.
Ah, okay. No, I love Italy and there's so much amazing history in Italy and design that's rooted and fashion too, that is rooted in, in Italy.
So it's true. It's really beautiful. It's really a beautiful place.
Yeah. So when you were going back and forth, were you inspired at a young age to become like a designer or what sparked your interest in design?
I mean, I don't know. As a child, I'm not sure where exactly the spark for design came from. Like there were so many different things. But I can talk about my grandmother, who was one of my biggest inspirations as a child. My mother's mother, she just always had a beautiful presence about her. She was always dressed to the nines, always had custom made clothing, always had designer shoes. Like she just was so curated And as a little kid, I remember looking at her and just thinking to myself, like, oh, wow, you know, you can curate like an image, like what you want to look like and what you feel good in. So that's where I started to see that you can pull different pieces together. I know, you know, we're talking about clothing, but, you know, the idea I think is still captured. And it was just really striking to me. I was really taken with her. Like, she was so beautiful and she always looked so perfectly put together.
That's probably why you're working with high-end residential clients and your everything is curated. Everything has to be a certain way because of maybe your exposure to your grandmother. At a young age, she already saw beautiful things, right?
Well, it just gave me the idea that you had the freedom to put together things that made you feel good into one outfit, which translates to curating furniture and pieces into one space, one room, one building. You know, I remember looking at her and feeling that way. So that was when I was, you know, very young, much younger. And I think that I've been inspired by many different things throughout my life.
Yeah.
You know, I studied in Copenhagen. I worked for an architect in Vienna. I worked for some really amazing architects here in New York. So I've been exposed to many different things and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Travel and exposure to different things. Because if you just live in your a little tiny town or a bubble and you're not exposed, then, you know, it's really hard to create, you know, amazing designs that will suit your clientele, right? Yeah. So tell us about Karen Aspria Design or your company. When did you launch it? How old is it? And tell us how that happened. Yeah.
I launched the company in 2017, and that was to service private residential clients. At the time, I was the design director of a much larger corporate design company in the city, but they had no interest in taking on like private residences. So, you know, I went to the owners and I said, hey, would you guys be comfortable with me starting, you know, like creating my own LLC to take these clients that you know, don't want to take. And they were fine and happy for me to do that. So that's when I founded the company, was in 2017. And then in late 2018, I actually had a falling out with my old business partners. Unfortunately,
yeah,
we didn't see eye to eye on certain things. I felt like I was being treated like the little guy, being taken advantage of a little bit because I was the youngest partner, the only female there. I mean, I almost don't like to say that, but I think in this case, it might be true. Like, I really did feel that way. So I kind of struck out on my own after that in late 2018, early 2019. And that's when I really started to take on my own, really like my own breadth of work and start making a portfolio that was truly just mine. So that's
okay. So let me step back. Let me step back. So when you were working in a company that did as in an architecture firm, correct? That only did,
well,
was it an architecture firm or?
It was an interior design firm and they were affiliated to a larger.
So, and then you asked to start your own LLC and they agreed. And
correct.
This is your right. Personal LLC with different partners.
It's just me.
Oh, okay. So did you have partners then where you had a falling out with the old people, the previous
with
company?
The old.
Oh, okay. Because I was wondering, wow, they're so generous to let you go and start your own. Because a lot of people, companies are very tight. Like, no, you can't start your own. We'll open our own residential department or whatever. So
no, that's, I mean, that's true, but they really were dealing with a lot of very large scale commercial projects and being able to service private residential clients is so different and takes so many different types of resources that, you know, it was just something that they didn't really have interest in, but I did. And so, you know, they said, all right, well, if you want to take some of your own clients, you can go on ahead and do that. You know, in order to do it the right way properly, I needed to open up my own entity and have a tax ID number.
And that's great. So So 2018 and 19 was the year you really were on your own. So what was that like? Like, were you busy right away? Because sometimes starting out is difficult, but I assume you had a pipeline already of clients working with you.
Actually, I didn't. It was a little bit unexpected. I didn't think that I was going to be out on my own at that moment. But things happened faster and unpredictably. And so I didn't actually have a pipeline of clients. But as soon as the word was out to my friends, like closer clients, I started to get phone calls to do work for their friends or, you know, developers that they knew, their family, you know, extended business relations. So it was really actually very nice that people reached out to me.
So, wow. So that was 2018 and you just started having work. Like, you never had to. Okay, this is the question I always ask a lot of creatives. A lot of creatives don't really have the time or energy to look for clients because most of us are busy with doing production work and things like that. How do you find, I mean, do you do any marketing strategies or everything is just word of mouth or how does that work? Because I a lot of people in my audience are not really full-time. They don't have their own firms. A lot of them want to start their own firms. So, you know, they listen to Architect My Life to learn from people like you who just went on your own. And, you know, business development and finding clients is one of the questions they ask. So what do you do other than, you know, word of mouth?
I would say, I mean, I'll be very honest with you. My business is 99% word of mouth. The first project that I had on my own was, it was a gallery space, a showroom for Listoni Giordano, which is a high-end flooring company out of Italy. I knew the owners. They were good friends of mine. I had bought a lot of good flooring from them in the past, and they had a showroom space that needed to be renovated. So they reached out to me to do that project and went really well. It was installed. It's gorgeous space. They still use the space all the time. That's kind of like their headquarters. They introduced me to a friend of theirs who's also in the industry who needed to have her apartment renovated. And like, it just leapfrogged one from the next.
And it's also a good, so you know, New York City is also a good place to be because there's a lot of people, you know, it's a good time to be a designer.
I mean, it happened organically, like as organically as possible, I think, from an unpredictable start, you know? Yeah. But what I would recommend to anybody wanting to start their own business would be to just pick 5 to 7 people that you trust in the industry who you think, you know, could be a mentor to you, and just like invite them to a coffee, not necessarily looking for them to hire you or engage you as a designer, but just to kind of put the word out there and be like, listen, this is what I'm doing. This is what I would like to be doing. You know, if you ever hear of anything, and then be open. You know, I think that I got so much feedback from people I knew in the industry. It gave me different perspective than maybe I would have on my own. So I think it's really important to just like stay connected with people in your community.
Yeah, I completely agree. A lot of people are not very comfortable networking or calling, being on the phone. But I always believe that if you're not networking, you're not working. And you know, you can't really build a sustainable business if you don't have a good, steady network of people who can connect you, contractors, tile manufacturers, friends, and family. It doesn't have to be networking. It can be coffee. And I really like that because, you know,
I think the formality of having a meeting should be removed. I don't think that there's any reason to be so formal. I think that it's good to have more like informal, friendly conversations with people. I think that for young designers or people who are just kind of getting out on their own, if people feel like you're trying to push services on them, then the conversation may not go the way that you'd want it to go. This is more like just, hey, you know, I want to stay connected. This is what I'm doing right now. Like, I really like what you do. Why don't you tell me how you started your business? That kind of conversation. And I think that that takes you leaps and bounds, if not just to give you a different perspective.
Yeah, like cultivating relationships and not expecting things in return. Almost like you give, 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 and then you get, you know?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So I always really believe that generosity is the key to success. So that's good that you're meeting people and networking. And that's one thing we all should be doing as business owners, to be out there more than just staying in your office and working a lot. So how do you continue to grow as a designer? Like, you know, like you're busy, you're doing a lot of things. Where do you get your inspiration from?
Let me think about this for a second. I actually wrote my answer to your question that was the top of your game.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I know you work with a lot of celebrities and that's pretty awesome. So, how do you?
Yes, I do. I do. I have a couple of celebrity clients. I can't name them all right now, but.
Can you name a few? No.
They like their privacy. And I have to, you know, I take my clients' privacy.
Yeah. I only know that because I Googled you and I found all these articles about Karen and your celebrity clients. So we won't mention names, but it's all over.
Oh, well, there was an Arc Digest article. I did the offices for Phoebe Robinson. We can talk about that. That's okay. Out there. We all know about that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I see one of your questions here is, you know, how to define, you know, how to grow when you're at the top of your game. But I don't like to define what the top of my game is, because I think that that changes so much with time, experience, and projects. So, you know, for me, like right now, today, top of my game in my mind might be like, okay, I need to get 10 projects with like 10 really premier, you know, either celebrity clients, big developers, whatever it is. But 10 years from now, top of my game might be just taking one really beautiful passion project and that's it. So yeah. I think that that really changes with what stage in life you're in, you know?
Yeah, I like that answer. Like, I think when you're younger, it's okay to hustle more and take on more projects. But when you become more successful, yeah, passion projects are cool. You can already say no to, you know, things that are not giving you happiness, you know, so you can take on more passion projects. So I want to talk about business a little bit. I always say creatives were taught how to master their craft, but not taught how to run or grow a business. So how did you develop your business acumen? Do you have a business advisor, a mentor, or yeah?
Well, I think honestly, I think this comes from just innately being a very type A personality.
Yeah.
I know that perfect doesn't exist, but I do like to get to a certain level of perfection with everything that I do. And I think that that's really important for branding. Like, you want to make sure that every drawing, every rendering, every email that leaves your office all is thoughtful. So I think that it stems from that. But I also think that growing up, I was given the freedom of choice a lot by my parents.
Yeah.
And having the freedom to make the choices about what makes me happy then, you know, translates into the future where it just made me a little bit more of a free thinker. Like, I wasn't really relying on somebody to tell me what to do. I didn't have to fit into a mold. So I do credit them with that a lot, which is not common, I don't think, for Italian American families. I think that
that's true. It was actually difficult. Yeah. That gave me a lot of freedom to explore.
They were pretty traditional Italian family, Italian American family. And I give them a lot of credit for being open and giving me so much freedom.
So in terms of the business aspect, right? Like, did you already know how to manage it? Like the business part? Like,
no.
What would you,
no, nobody knows that. I mean, designers are taught to design. They're taught about concept. They're taught about construction documents, but nobody teaches you how to be a manager.
Yes.
And when I say manager, I mean manager of other people, because I think ultimately what people are looking for is for somebody to like be like the decision maker, right? Like they come to me, they see my aesthetic, my palette, my design, and they're like, okay, perfect. Like this is what we want, and you can make all the decisions for us. And I think that that's what draws people like into the business. They feel confident and comfortable. But when I feel like I'm hitting a wall with something, or if I get into a situation that is new to me, I do have a business consultant that I reach out to and talk these things through with. And they don't necessarily tell me what to do, but they will give me their perspective, which makes me feel confident in making the decisions that I need to make.
That's great. But that's good that you have a mentor or a consultant that can help you, because we all need, especially creatives, we always need business advice. So this is Absolutely. Also, you know, leading to my next question, which I ask all my guests. What is your favorite mistake that turned into a blessing? We all have that.
That's a little bit of a loaded question, but I'm going to give you an honest answer. Signing my partnership agreement with my old business partners was the biggest mistake that led to the biggest blessing. And the blessing is not that I have a successful business of my own. That's not the blessing. The blessing is that I actually truly understand what it means to be humbled and grateful, because when I went out on my own and people found out about this, I got phone calls every single day from people that I just even had like an acquaintance, you know, like not these weren't people that I was doing business with on a regular basis. It was really interesting to me who was reaching out and how many people called me to say, hey, you know, is everything okay? I know somebody who needs a kitchen. I know somebody who needs a lobby. Like that experience truly humbled me and truly made me feel grateful. And that is the blessing.
I can only imagine what it felt like transitioning from the heartache of, you know, that stress. Because I had a similar instance. I had a business partner and we just, you know, parted ways. And it's not easy. How long did it take you to recover?
I mean, emotionally, I think I might still be recovering. Unfortunately, like in the middle of this crazy transition, I had to have a massive kidney operation. So it was really, I mean, an interesting thing to be happening. I was in a hospital bed thinking, oh my God, I need to get it together and like start my business. So that's why I say that the blessing is just understanding what being grateful is. Like the successful business could have come 3 years, 10 years, whatever. Like I could have done anything else, but I think that knowing that there's people out there who are rooting for you and people who are going to support you. And like, that's the blessing for me.
Yeah. And I really think that when you encounter hardships in life, like it's almost very difficult. Like sometimes you probably can't sleep at night and you think about it all the time, but that's what makes you strong and resilient. Right. And maybe my next question is, how do you build your confidence as a business owner? Maybe helped you build confidence as a business owner. I don't know. Because I think having confidence as a business owner is also one of the keys to success. Because if you don't have confidence in your business, people, if you can be the best designer in the world, but if you're not a confident business leader or owner, there's no way you can succeed. So what's your secret? I mean, in terms of building your confidence?
I'll go back to what I said about making decisions. I think that if you are comfortable and confident making decisions on behalf of your client, on behalf of, you know, your design studio, whatever it is, like throughout the process, you're going to go from concept to design development, construction documents, and then, you know, you're going to go through the building process. If you are confident in making decisions for your client and like they see that, then they have confidence in you, and you also are more confident in what your relationship with your clients, right? Because I think that feeling comfortable making decisions for a project, what's best, what's the best like way to do this, what's the best material to use, doing the research, and when you hit a wall, talk to an expert, talk to somebody that's been in the business for longer than you have. You know, I think it's really important to have three or four people who you would see yourself in their position in 5 to 10 years from now, and talk to those people once a week, twice a week even.
So you do that, Karen? That's pretty impressive.
I do.
You have 5 to 7 people that you... Is this, okay, you had your 5 to 7 people you have coffee with. Is that like per month?
Yes.
Or like a year? Or
no, I mean, I think when I was starting my own, when I really came to the realization that I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go out on my own now. I picked seven people that I was like, I'm going to sit down with these people, talk to them, you know, tell them what my vision is and see what kind of like input they have. But as my business has grown, I do have 2 or 3 people that I consider to be experts.
Yeah.
And I reach out to them and we have conversations 2 to 3 times a week. Always. Oh,
that's amazing. That's great. Yeah. That you kind of like, you know, you find mentors really to see, you know, where you want to be in the next 5 years. It's kind of like your navigation system in life that you want to be like them. And emulate them in a way, you know, and they can guide you. That's amazing.
I think that anybody who's been in any business and who really is an expert in what they do, and like, you know, they've kind of been through it in a way, those people are the most open to helping and supporting and mentoring someone who's maybe 5 or 6 years behind them.
Yeah.
You know, like I always now, like after having these experiences, I am happy to give advice out to younger designers or anybody in the industry who feels like they need a little bit of guidance. Like I'm happy to give it because I think that it's not given freely and it's information that's invaluable.
Not only information, but experience is also one of the biggest teachers. And you're also learning from your mentors, you know, like I always tell this to people, you're smart when you learn from your mistakes, but you're a genius when you learn from other people's mistakes. So
that's right.
Right?
That is right. Yep.
So what are your, where do you see your firm in the next 3 years?
So I think in the next 3 years, I'm looking to grow the studio a little bit in terms of staff. I think over the next maybe 12 to 16 months, right now I have a team of 4 and I'm thinking that that might become closer to 8.
Over the next congratulations.
12 or 16 months. I mean, it seems like a lot of developers coming out of COVID had properties that they weren't developing for a long time and now they're developing them. A lot of people bought properties that they were trying to get approved by whatever local authorities there are. Now they're ready for an interior designer. So there's just like a lot of things coming online right now. And because of the supply chain crisis and everything having just such crazy lead times, there are certain pieces of furniture that I'm going to start manufacturing my own line of furniture locally, because it's like, you can't wait 20 weeks for a chair, you know?
Oh my God, that is so amazing, Karen. Congratulations. I think that's pretty smart.
Thank
I know
because
I go shopping here and some of the furniture sometimes takes 54 weeks, like 6 months. Like, how can you not have furniture for 54 weeks? The lead times normally were 4 to 8 weeks, right? And now it's what?
Right now, anything coming out of Europe is 25 weeks plus. I have a celebrity client currently sitting on beanbag chairs in their living room because the couch.
Karen, you might never, your furniture business might explode.
who knows?
Be selling furniture. That's it.
I know, right? It's pretty crazy. I just started doing a commercial office space, very high end, for a contractor in Manhattan. And when I told them how long the furniture would take, they almost fell off their chairs.
Oh my God. But I love that you're going to start your own furniture business. I love it.
Yeah.
We need a part two of AML interview. How, you know, I mean, is it going to be an online business or just for now private for your private clients? And then when you create your own line, then you'll have a store or an online showroom. I don't know.
Right now it's for my private clients. Like, you know, I create custom pieces all the time for my private clients and I'm curating it into a collection that will be available online.
So when can we expect that? I'm excited.
I'm not sure of the exact date yet, but hopefully within 2022, I think that we should have something online. And hopefully the lead times are going to be less than 8 weeks.
So this is great because you're also providing jobs for the local artisans in New York, Brooklyn, New Jersey. I don't know where you're getting your, that in the Midwest.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, where?
In Pennsylvania, I have a mill worker who builds furniture for me in Long Island and in Brooklyn. So like they are really local to the area.
That's great. So promoting local, artisans that create high quality furniture. I'm really excited about that. So you'll have the design business, the furniture business. This is also exciting, Karen.
Yeah, anyway. It is. It is exciting. I've been trying to get the furniture off the ground for a while, but you know, we're so busy. We're so busy right now. But it's going to happen this coming year.
Okay. Well, you have to keep me posted because I want to, share it in my, Facebook. I have a lot of architects in our Facebook groups and, just share the word.
Will.
Yeah. Cause I also have a lot of friends in Manhattan and I'm sure, they'll all want to see that again because of the supply chain. I mean, I didn't even think that, it's just amazing that you're going to start your own. A lot of designers in the Philippines, actually the high-end designers where I'm from, they couldn't find really good furniture that they like in the Philippines. So they start their own companies too, like you. And then it explodes. So I'm looking forward to that.
We also, my husband and I do some work. He's a contractor. So he builds some of my design work for private homes. And we have some business in Puerto Rico as well. That's where his family lives.
Yeah.
So, that's an island. It's not like things can be trucked in, everything arrives by boat. So we also have local mill workers in San Juan that will also build stuff for us for clientele there in that region.
Exciting, Karen. This is also exciting. So before we end our podcast, I want to know where our audience can find you.
So the best place to look for me is on Instagram. That's where I keep most of my information. And that's Karen Espreya Studio. That's the handle. You can also find me on my website. It's KarenEspreya.com. And I think I might have a LinkedIn somewhere. You can find me. Just search for my name. It's there. But Instagram is definitely my favorite platform to share on.
Okay, so thank you so much, Karen, for your insights and the stories that you've told us about. You know, I think my biggest takeaway really is the 5 to 7 people that you need to connect with in an authentic way, and just really be, you know, be true. You don't see networking as trying to sell, but trying to just create relationships. I used to be very shy and I didn't really like to network, but for my audience, if you're really trying to grow a business, having good relationships is really key. And also my biggest takeaway is the 3 to 4 mentors that you aspire to be. And that's really, you know, finding the right people to inspire you. Thank you so much, Karen, for your time. And I hope that you have a wonderful rest of the holidays. Holidays are coming up.
The holidays are coming up. Thank you so much. It was so nice to speak with you. I hope that you enjoy the end of the year. It's festive here in New York, so we'll be enjoying that.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Architect My Life podcast. We'd love to hear from you on social media using the hashtag Architect My Life podcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at @Aya_ArchitectMyLife. That's Aya, A-Y-A, _ArchitectMyLife. And for women firm owners, I invite you to join the Architect My Life private Facebook group. If you haven't already, we'd appreciate it if you'd subscribe to the show, as well as rate or review us wherever you access podcasts. And if you think you have something to add to the conversation through your success running a business, we invite you to apply to be a guest in one of our upcoming episodes. Visit architectmylife.com/podcast to learn more. Maybe you're not in a position to share your success story yet. That's okay. Take your business to the next level with our coaching and online courses. Get everything you need at architectmylife.com. Remember, there is a way to manage it all so you can achieve more. I'm Aya Schlachter. Thanks again for listening.